Chances are that chances first thing are, you do, chances are, that chances are,
you're gonna fail, dude. You're gonna fail. You're gonna fail, dude.
You're gonna fail, dude.
You're gonna fail, dude.
You're gonna fail.
You're gonna fail.
It's gonna suck.
It's gonna suck.
It's gonna suck.
You're gonna fail, dude.
You're gonna fail, dude.
You're gonna fail, dude.
You're gonna fail.
You're gonna fail.
It's gonna suck. It's gonna suck.
It's gonna suck.
Yippee! Listen, what's the title of this thing? No title again?
I'm got the lonely little man.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Chink, chink. Chink, chink. I'm not sure how my voice will sound because, well, I'm sitting in the dark in my office and I'm feeling that although there's nobody next door to me, I still don't want anybody to overhear this man sitting alone in the dark, talking to himself. So, yeah, just a bit self-conscious. I was going to, of course, on the way home on my office, Kingston Road in Maine. I can drive home via Bluffers Park, or via Kingston Road, and zip off into Bluffers. But thought, no, why not just record from the office for a change? I've come here Saturday morning. It's become a new pattern. Saturday morning, head to the office. When I have marking to do or preparation, it's a good place to, oh, just to try and convince myself this is a work environment. That's what I have to do. But today I've devoted to reading. And I'm back with a book I've picked up, read more than once. And I'm going at it again. It's called Buddhism is Not What You Think by Steve Hagen. I like it, and this time around I think it's just becoming a little more clear. This is the first time I've actually attacked the book with my yellow highlighter and ruler. And I'm kind of enjoying that. You know, certain sentences just pop out at you and say, "Ah, I've got to underline that one." There's a lot of truth in it, but it's just, you know, anything to do with Buddhism, it's very difficult to hold on to because you're not supposed to hold on to it. And the idea of grasping, to reach out and grab a truth, is the one thing you're trying to avoid, because as long as you are grasping, you are not experiencing the here and now, the immediate reality, the truth. And that's a very hard thing to do. And, of course, it's impossible when you pick up a recorder and start talking to people, because now I'm just distracted. I'm separating myself. But one of the ideas in here that I believe to be true, and I have talked about this over the years on Dixon Jane's podcast, is the interconnectedness of all of us. How we are not separate. It's not me and the outside world. Like, I think in these terms of me and those horrid fuckers, the Boko Haram people in Nigeria, or the fanatics who came across and killed the cartoonists and editors at Charlie Hebdo in Paris recently, and anybody else who just kills and hurts in the name of their own stupid goddamn belief system, that it's very hard to feel, well, I am with them, I am connected, we are all this one entity of reality, whatever it is. It's so much easier to compartmentalize and think of them out there, those others who I fucking hate and want dead. That's not very Buddhist-like thinking. But to believe that we are all one, it's like, does that mean that it's just this one universal mind we share, or that we are never separate to start with, and being separate is only a false construct of just one of the problems of being human? It's very, very difficult. And it's one of those things you can get close to, and for almost a moment, you can almost feel it and almost believe it, that yes, yes, yes. And that will help dissipate the hatred and the anger and the frustration. And then it goes, and the walls come back up, and the separateness, and it's them, those fuckers, and me, or maybe us, the good guys, but still even amongst us, that's you, the podcast listener, the person I'm talking to right now. We're separate. And you try and think, no, no, we're not. We're one. And what I'm doing is what you're doing, and something like that, that we understand each other. We're actually a hive mind. We're working together, and I'm just doing my little part here. And if you are perceiving any of this, and it's touching you somehow, that's good and as it's meant to be, because you're doing the same and you're touching somebody else, and we're all truly interconnected. And yet it's such a stretch. It's so hard to feel that. We want to stay separate. No, I don't want to be like him or her. I want to be me. And can I be me? And at the same time, be us? I don't know. It's a bit too much for me, but that's sort of what made me stop, turn off the lights, pick up the recorder, and start talking. My grasping of these truths or these understandings. I've reflected back over the 10 years of the podcast and wondered, what progress have I made? All of this starts, of course, driving in, listening to Anthony and Adam Greatrix on the, I don't know, Great White Fnord or whatever it is they do. Another one of Anthony's podcasts. And the first thing I think is, holy shit, Anthony's not only doing many podcasts, but he's doing these amazing intros and outros for them. And he's showing, producing creativity, being creative. And it seems to be coming easy for him. And that's wonderful. Anthony's a bright and creative and intelligent guy. And he's a special part of this us. And I admire that and I applaud that. And yet, I can't help but compare and think, I can't do that. Why am I struggling even to start a new podcast, which should be easy on creativity? And I'm reaching out. I'm thinking, I need more. I need help. I can't do this. And again, it comes with those feelings of not so much insecurity, but just inadequacy. Well, why even bother? It's not going to be very good. Don't go any further. Forget it. And I know that's like a poison. That's like a sickness that's seeping through me these days. And as I was driving and listening, I'm thinking, okay, is it that I was never, ever smart enough anyway to ever be at that level? Or is it just that I'm getting old and the brain is further deteriorating a little quicker than I want it to, and I just simply can't keep up? And I come home and I pick up a book like this Zen book, come to the office and I start reading the Zen book, and I'm thinking, whoa, man. That's my stomach growling. I skipped lunch today. I start thinking, man, you are really beating up on yourself. Is this really necessary? Why are you comparing? Why are you doing this? Why are you going through all these inner struggles and battles that you needn't even start? Because that's just another little game. And how do all the pieces connect? How does this connect with the artist way, with the desire to podcast, with the desire to end my Dixon Jane's podcast? Why all this questioning? Why all this evaluating? Why all this comparing? How can I just sort of put all that aside and just be? Which takes me back to the Zen book. And trying to enter the now. So I think that's what I'll go back to. I think I'll stop right here. I've let out, released a little bit of the poison. And I think I'll get back into that very comfortable space. It was very, very nice before I started talking. Sitting in this chair with the book on my lap. And focusing as clearly as I can on the words in this wonderful little book on Buddhism. So that's what I'll get back to right now. Thanks for listening, and welcome to Dixon Jane's podcast number 494. Bye for now. Yeah, this is just a few moments later and I'm back. I feel compelled to add something to this clip. On my last podcast, I said I flipped out. I know sometimes I must sound like I'm really losing it, and I don't think I am, but it certainly comes across that way. I was going on about finding these stones. I had to go out and get stones, and I just reached into a box and found four stones. In fact, I reached in again and found a fifth, like I was asked to do. And there's no meaning to that in one sense, but there's also all kinds of meaning to that. And I think I said even, I didn't expect anybody to understand it, but it's this sense of things just being right sometimes. I have a tendency to really hurry, like, you know, to just, okay, I got to get in my mind, I have to do this, and I just start doing it. And I relish those times when I just slowly do what it is I want to do. The fact that I'm sitting here in my office on a Saturday afternoon reading a book on Buddhism is wonderful because it's what I want to do. And I came in with, I've got three bags full of things that I also could be doing, other projects, other things to work on, school stuff, other books to read and so on. But instead, this is what I'm doing and this is what I feel really right about. And I'm always fascinated, well, how did that come to be? Why am I now sitting here reading this book and on top of that sharing it with you? Well, it started last night when I'd finished a book called Ishmael that my son gave to me that I needed to read. And I reached by my bedside for, okay, what's the next book? There's always a stack of books all around me. And instead, I turned to another bookshelf and dug in a little and pulled out this book and sat it by the bedside, said, no, that's the book to come back to. And here it is today. And today I'm reading it with an understanding I've never quite had before. I've always understood in that moment to a certain degree. And yet here I am today reading it and understanding it more clearly than I ever have before. And that sort of counteracts what I was just going on about, these feelings of inadequacy, this is wrong and that's wrong, and this confused mindset, struggling, grasping, comparing, striving. And now, just in this little space, I'm able to let go of all that. And again, I fall short, or I don't fall short. It's just difficult to really share the significance of that with anybody else. It's difficult enough for me to understand. I'm reading a little section here about Buddhism is not about reincarnation, and I'm glad to see that. Just as firewood does not revert to firewood once it burns to ash, so a person does not return to life after death. But he's talking about the impermanence of self, and of course self is a fake construct to start with. The fact is, within this one lifespan, as we live from moment to moment, we are never a particular unchanging person. You are not the same person you were 10 or 20 years ago. In fact, you are not the person you were 10 or 20 minutes ago. And I know that's true. And here I am. I'm going again to a Gestalt session this week with the question, who am I? That's why I started off. And there is an answer here. I'm just this, whoever I am now in this moment. And that self is just changing, well, continually, but we don't even have the time to grab onto it. And here's me trying to say, who am? Who is Ken Bowl? When Ken Bowl is who he makes himself to be, or allows himself to be, in any given moment. It isn't fixed. There's all this history and this sense of past, and there's this sense of a future of who will I be in this time, and what if I plan to do this or choose to do that? Who will that person be? Everything about our bodies, our minds, and the world has changed and will continue to do so. We don't experience a singular, unchanging self. So, in a way, I'm chasing after something that's not there and never was. I should remind my Gestalt counselor of that. Say, why am I paying you for answering a question that can't be answered? All right, I don't know if that's enough. Nothing persists, nothing repeats, nothing returns. Each moment is fresh, new, unique, impermanent. And rebirth consciousness, not to be confused with reincarnation, but rebirth consciousness is the conceptual glue that appears to link all these distinct moments together. Each moment presents a newborn universe. So I think, again, I'll stop there, but I guess I wanted nothing more than to let you know I'm okay. And I'm still on the journey. I still want to be on the journey. It seems quite funny that as I sit here, like 8 feet across from me on this, against this bright yellow wall, which I love, is a bright yellow Beatles poster of the four Beatles dressed in their Sgt. Pepper's costumes. And I'm looking at Ringo, John, Paul, and George as four other individuals who I felt very, very, very connected to. This wasn't just a band of musicians. This was us. There's just such a strong bond to the Beatles. And when I say that to people who weren't of that generation, they think, yeah, okay, so they're a good band, but there's lots of other good bands. And I have to say, no, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the changes that occurred in that wonderful brief period, those few years of almost a global attempt at a changing consciousness, a rising consciousness, a hopeful consciousness that we latched onto, that we flowed with, we grew with. And maybe that's partly now, 40 years later, that I want to get back to get some more of, to refresh myself, to revitalize myself. And I do have to make some effort on an honest day-to-day basis of just putting aside all those fears and anxieties about growing old and losing my mind. Because that ain't healthy and that's not going to serve me well. Anyway, my stomach is grumbling. And it's time to, I think, read one more chapter and head home. And then decide whether tonight I will head back to the only cafe as per usual or do something else. Bye again.
Undertaker sighs, the lonesome organ grinder cries, the silver saxophones say I should refuse you. The cracked bells and washed out horns blow into my face with scorn, but it's not that way, I wasn't born to lose you. I want you, I want you, I want you so bad. Honey, I want you. The drunken politician leaps upon the street where mothers weep, and the saviors who are fast asleep, they wait for you. And I wait for them to interrupt me drinking from my broken cup and ask me to open up the gate for you. I want you, I want you, yeah. Yes, I want you so big. Honey, I want you. Now my fathers, they've gone down. True love, they've been without it. But all their daughters put me down, 'cause I don't think about it. Well, I return to the Queen of Spades and talk with my chambermaid. She knows it, she's not afraid to look at her. She is good to me, and there's nothing she doesn't see. She knows where I'd like to be, but it doesn't matter. I want you, I want you. Yes, I want you so bad. Honey, I want you. Now your dancing child with his Chinese suit, he spoke to me, I took his flute. No, I wasn't very cute to him, was I? But I did it because he lied, and because he took you for a ride. Because time is on his side, and because I want you. I want you. Yes, I want you so bad. Honey, I want you.
Yeah, I have a slight headache, and at a time when I shouldn't. Like, what is the time? It's probably not even 1 o'clock. Hang on. Hello.
Would object to our guys.
Well, it's 1 a.m. Just about 1 a.m. on Saturday night, Sunday morning. Hey, we've been here before. Eglinton Go parking lot. It's a larking pot. Just coming home from the Only with a couple of beer with Buddy Brian, which is exactly what I told you about in the last podcast, if you're listening. Yeah, that's what we do Saturday night. Well, I don't know. Let's go to the Only. I had to sit in the cafe side again. It was packed, as always. It's a small, narrow bar to start with. But goddamn, it was nice. We had 3.5 pints each. We had 3 pints, and I said, okay, let's be sensible. Let's go home. And then, I mean, he's an Irishman. I'm a drinker. You know, look at, well, we could go home, yeah, or, well, we can have a half each. Oh, okay. Or we can have one and split it between the two of us. Okay. And that doesn't rule out having another one later and splitting it between the two of us. But anyway, we did it. So 3.5 pints. That's what we did. Limited ourselves to it. Brian got off at Main Street. We'll catch the streetcar. I get off at Kennedy, grab on the 116 or the 86, whatever is first. Had to run for the one tonight. Holy fuck. Oh, God. And get off right outside the Eglinton Go parking lot, the Eglinton Go station here in Scarborough. Across the street, and here I am. Bingo, bango, bongo. I'm sitting in the front seat of my car, catching up with you, or helping you catch up with me. I tuned in, and this sounds like a, you know, it's an egotistical thing to do. It is. For the few minutes I had left before getting into the car, my previous podcast, because you want to know, well, where was it coming from last time? What kind of a mood was I in? What was I thinking? What was I feeling? And to tell the truth, I don't know. All I know is right now, here, in the Eglinton Go parking lot, I'm kind of, feeling good. Brian and I covered new territory tonight. Like, when, you know, you think, oh, my God, you guys do that all the time. Must be fucking boring after a while. And on top of that, you're both in your mid-60s. Holy shit, how boring can you get? But we're not. We've had checkered pasts. We've had very interesting pasts. And it's the one reason why you have such a good friendship, is because one can never outdo the other. You know, I like to think I've had a more interesting life. He likes to think he's had a more interesting life. All right, let's call it even, and we do. And it is just true for both of us. We've just been so lucky to have been born when and where we were. We cover that ground all the time. But tonight, we got on to some news stories about God, Death, Buddhism, yeah, the usual, I guess. A couple of other topics, but I'm not quite ready to share that with you, okay? I'm not quite ready to go there. And then, of course, I had my usual, this is the first time in a very long time, a very, very long time, weeks probably, that I've stepped out and I had half a doobie and a silver pin and smoked that baby down to the core and came back in and boom, let's have some new conversations here. And it's been great since then, and I'm still feeling great and now. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. How you could slander me with your opinions. What kind of a man is that? And, of course, that's the question I've been answering myself all day. What kind of a man am I? Well, if I'm really going to buy into this Buddhism shit I've been talking about, not any kind of man at all. I was telling Brian, like, we're just life forms, and it's our, whatever it is that's living in us, our DNA, or if you want to reduce it further, whatever it is that has a sense of being alive, that is turned on and wants to remain turned on and to carry on when this vehicle is done, to carry it on through our certain offspring, pass on as many of those things as you can to the next generation. Holy fuck. And we've done that in our way. Brian with three sons, me with two, you know? It's just kind of interesting how that all worked out. But look, I'm not in any shape, I'll be quite honest, to really have a very well-thought-out, logical, coherent conversation as if I have ever been. And so I think I'll just stop there. But I do want you to know, I do want to say that it's been a good evening and I'm really feeling good about today, about the choices I made, about actually bothering to pull that book on Buddhism off the shelf, to actually spend some time in a comfortable chair in the office reading. Like, all this was happening on a more of a subconscious level. That's what I want to do today. There are just so many other great stories, but we'll pass it on that. You don't particularly want to hear the news. You don't want to hear about how the ISIS killed at least one of the Japanese. Men who just really shouldn't have been killed for any reason. And that is just so heartbreaking and so sad. So we won't go there. Man, now we're kind of almost stuck, aren't we? Having to go there. Yeah, like somebody in the future is saying, hey, fuck it, I wanted to hear the newscast from that time, that day, January 25th, 1 a.m., 2015 in Scarborough, Ontario.
Good, nice music, though.
This is CBC Radio 1, 99.1 FM in Toronto. Canada lives here. Working
9 to 5, what a way to make. Dolly Parton's 1980 lament seems almost trivial now. Today's technology means we are linked to our jobs 24/7. But is email and texting really to blame? Or does responsibility for better integrating job and life rest with our bosses?
Damn, I had a question better than that, sucker. What makes you you? And I've been talking about doing this Baby Sally Talks podcast about creativity, and it just occurred to me on the bus between Kennedy Station and Bellamy Road North that's the wrong question I've been asking about creativity and personality. The question is, what makes you you? And that's what I want to explore. That's what I want to go to. I was on the wrong question. That's what was bugging me so much. And this is what I want to answer. What makes you you?
CBC News. I'm Ted Poppy. Japan's prime minister says he's speechless after an online video purported to show one of two Japanese hostages held by ISIS had been killed. In the video, the group is demanding the release of a member in exchange for the other hostage. Shinzo Abe says the video is likely authentic.
I am at a loss for words. I can only imagine the emotional suffering that Haruna Yukawa's family members are experiencing at this time. I condemn this despicable violence in the strongest possible terms.
Rightly so.
Abe declined to comment on the message on the latest video, demanding a prisoner exchange for journalist Kenji Goto, the other hostage. He did say the government was still working on the situation. Well, government officials in Ukraine say 30 people have been killed.
I'm going to tune it out there a little bit. This is the Russia-Ukraine thing. But my feeling at this point, okay, they asked for 200 million to spare both. Boom. They killed one. You fuckers. You cocksuckers. You bastards. You fucking heathens. You fucking evil assholes. All right. They killed one. They hold the other one up. All right. Forget the money. Release that woman. Now, my feeling is, if there's any hope that releasing this one woman will spare the life of that other Japanese man, I say do it. I say do it. Just do it. And there's all kinds of people, no, you can never give in to terrorism, to pressure, and so on. Do it. I'm very glad they did not give in the 200,000. Who knows what other money there might be behind the scenes they've been asked not to talk about. But I'm saying cave on this issue. Release that woman from prison. With a guarantee, of course, that this man's life will be spared. It's bad enough one was killed. If we can save this other one by releasing from Jordan, I believe, another woman bomber, then do it. All right, and maybe some of you have different opinions, but that's how I feel about it. I just am just so disturbed by this kind of a mindset. Like, to me, it's just a sickness, and it just drives me back into the position of you're just fucking primitive, man. You are just fucking primitive. Not far past the fucking caveman. Of course, everybody would argue against that. Wait a minute, they're using technology. They're using our stuff. They're gaining their thing. They're building their empire. They are very smart and very sophisticated. They know exactly what they're doing. I just fucking hate them for the brutal, cold murders of people who just don't deserve to be killed. And yes. What about all the other bombs, all the other drones and so on? This car argument will go on forever. I guess I've taken sides. And I am not at all forgiving, tolerant, or willing to having to have my mind opened about this militant form of Islam that denies women the right to an education, that will kill hostages in the name of their religion, the only true one, and just this mindless terror of killing people for the sin of insulting their fucking prophet. Fuck you. I'm sorry. Just fuck you. I'm not sorry. I'm just kind of annoyed, kind of fucking hate. You kind of would like to see, like when I went and saw the sniper, some guy put a fucking bullet right through your head, Clint Eastwood style. Yes, bam, boom, gone, fucker. Sorry, I didn't know I was going to go there, but if we're talking authenticity, that's just what came out of my mouth then. That's how I'm feeling, and I'd like to end this now, probably a bit of a sour note. Maybe there's something nicer on CBC we can just pick up on.
I didn't hold to the ball in any way.
A team with a reputation, Deflategate.
Well, fucking who fucking cares?
Break the rules. That's coming up on
Fuck
day 6.
Fuck you.
Today.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Not sure about this.
A bird that flies away, a candle's fickle flame.
Just
get to know me. If you want, can't you just show me?
Take the time to get to know me. It's the only way Dixon James works. And most people picked up on that. One show, you're not going to like me. You're not going to care about this show. Three shows, I might, you know, you might feel some empathy towards me. Never there? No, you're always here. Okay, so this is 88.1.
Hacienda for a few pesos down. You give it to the lady you are trying to win, but her papa doesn't let you come in. Managua, Nicaragua is a heavenly place. You ask a señorita for a little embrace. She answers you caramba, scramba, bomberito. In Managua, Nicaragua, that's no.
I have been to many tropic ports. I might include even Brooklyn. If you're ever feeling out of sorts, I'd like to recommend a look-in.
Managua, Nicaragua, what a wonderful spot. There's coffee and bananas and the temperature hot. So take a trip and on a ship go sailing away across the agua to Managua, Nicaragua, ole, ole, ole. Across the agua to Managua, Nicaragua, ole. Is a beautiful town. You buy a hacienda for a few pesos down. You give it to the lady you are trying to win, but her papa doesn't let you come in. Managua, Nicaragua is a heavenly place. You ask a señorita for a little embrace. She answers you caramba, scramba, bomberito. In Managua, Nicaragua, that's no.
Every day is made for playing fun, 'cause every day is fiesta, and they work from 12 o'clock to 1, minus an hour for siesta.
Managua, Nicaragua, what a wonderful spot. There's coffee and bananas and the temperature hot. So take a trip and on a ship go sailing away across the agua to Managua, Nicaragua, ole, ole, ole. Across the agua to Managua, Nicaragua, ole.
Check, 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 check. No time to rehearse, no time to rehearse. Scarborough Dude at you from Bluffers Park in a premium parking spot. This is like a standard rectangular parking lot, but they have one spot facing sort of the corner where the lake flows into this little inlet, the boat launch area. So this is the Catside parking lot, but on the diagonal parking spot. and directly, of course, facing the sun's beaming down on me now. And I've never taken this spot before. I don't know why. It's always the premium spot, you know. You're because nobody can park exactly beside you because it's at an angle. It's the one spot. They normally wouldn't even create such a spot, but because there's parking on both sides of this rectangle, they, you know how geometry works. So it's lovely, and I'm just hogging it all to myself. Sun is very bright. It's a Sunday afternoon. Off to a good start today. I got in, well, you heard me last night, right? And I have the terrible habit when I get home, I just raid the fridge, see whatever is there, and stuff myself full of food that I probably can't properly digest and never should be doing at all. I should drink water and go straight to bed, but yeah, that's not how I jelly roll. And instead, I load up. Anyway, got up this morning and suggested to my number two son that we go to the Bendale Diner. And he was up for it. I was surprised. He was up early, back in bed. He didn't get in till 3. I got in at 1:30. He got in at 3. But still, we went to the local diner, and it was great. We had a little table in the back, and we talked for an hour and a half over breakfast. It was really wonderful. It was a good, just, you know, the guy's 23, and he's finishing off college, and just can't wait to get that first job and get some money. And we talked about plans for the future and his plans. We talked about types of women. We talked about relationships. We talked about strategies for making money. We talked about, oh, investments. Just lots of things. Talked about going your own way, you know, creating your own path in life, the courage to be yourself. Talked about my friends, talked about Brian, and it was wonderful. It was just open and unheated, because sometimes when people are tired, frustrated, discussions tend not to be so much discussions as verbal exchanges. And this was just a really nice, relaxing talk over a good breakfast. He had Eggs Benedict, and I had the usual 3 eggs and bacon. Yeah, good little spot, and both of us, you know, me especially, just happy to have this in my area. This is, I live in an area called Bendale. It's a part of Scarborough. And even Bendale's divided up into Bendale North. I was going to join, there's a community association, Bendale North, and it was, no, I'm off by a few blocks. I don't fit in their catchment area. I can't be a member of Bendale North Community Association. This was a period when I was thinking, hey, I gotta plug myself back in. I gotta do something. And I, well, you know, I mean, take this the same way you're supposed to have taken the my desire to have a comic book. I thought maybe I should join the Rotarians. And I only had to read down the list of what it is they actually expect of you to realize, no, 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 no. Any of you could have told me that without looking. I had to look it up first and think, no, I don't think I want to do that on weekends. And I don't think I want to contribute that money. And no, I don't think I buy into these beliefs. And no, I don't think this is really a good fit for me at all. But I am at the point in my life when I'm thinking it is time to get back in and do something again. And the one thing that just keeps coming back is the thing that I gave up a couple of years ago, and that was the Youth Justice Committee. I've probably mentioned this before. It's calling to me. It's really is. This is direct help. When you set up on a panel and you get a kid off the hook for what could be a criminal record. And it's not, we're not talking rapists, we're not talking about guys who've gone out with a gun, we're not talking about dangerous people who need to go through the criminal system. We're talking about young kids who did something stupid. Maybe beat somebody up, maybe took an eye from, probably most likely just stole from a Walmart or something, and just little things that got them into trouble or got caught smoking weed at school. Any of this crap that it could technically be a criminal matter, but really we have enough serious things going on in the courts that we don't need them clogged up with these little minor issues and ruining some kid's life from this point on. It's a very fair process. It's restorative justice is what it's about. And it is a thing that I did and I was very, very good at. And my broad-mindedness and range of background experiences actually helped me. I mean, there might be some people more inclined to harp on a kid, well, why are you smoking marijuana? And I think, no, that's not what this is about. You know, you might give a few clues. Hey, if you're smoking pot every day, you're probably not going to really pass all those courses you'd like to pass. But you're not there to lecture. You're there to be realistic and maybe give the kids some options and basically let them have a second chance. And hopefully they'll be grateful for that and won't screw up the same way again. You know, you got to give them a little bit of a scare that, hey, you fuck up on this. You don't follow through on the list of things that we've given you that you have to commit to, boom, it just goes right back to the judge. Your choice. Take responsibility now or pay the consequences later. So I may call them up again. I was hoping I'm on the list, waiting list for adult justice, which is more along the lines of mediation, which I wanted, where you met with the victim, then you met with the offender, and then you met with them both. And it was a much longer, more involved, deeper process. With the youth justice, it's mainly a case of issuing sanctions. And I quit because I felt it was rubber stamping and I wanted something a little more. But anyway, that is to say, I want to do things that are responsible. I want to do things that are creative or demand a certain amount of creativity in your thinking, that are very much of the moment and are helpful to the community at large. So there we go. I'm saying all that because I'm avoiding the other topics that are going to be a little more difficult for me to talk about. I can assume you know me. If you're listening to this thing, you have a pretty good sense of who I am. And one thing you will know about me or should know about me is I am a stubborn fuck. You tell me to do something and my first reaction is, fuck you. No. I don't know. I've mentioned this before. I don't quite know where it came from. I don't know why it's so strong in me. But that's the answer. So if somebody gives me some very good advice, like, just do it. Just do it. The reaction is not, okay. Hey, thanks. That's an idea. I'll do it. The action is exactly the opposite. Fuck you. No. Why are you telling me this? Why are you saying just do it? Now, I got to qualify. This is going to take me a little while to work this out, so be patient. There's more than one of you, by the way. It's not just you, Doug. It's other people have said, just do it. I've been doing it for a very long time. I've got a suitcase full of story starts and working on it and have been for a very long time. I hasn't finished anywhere. I haven't got anywhere. But I'm certainly doing it. And I understand this whole concept of, oh, no, don't wait for perfection. You know, I think Doug's words, it's going to be shit, you know, but do it anyway. Just do it. I know that part. I get that part. It may not be evident on this podcast, but I am really, really, really thinking hard. And I know, too much thinking, dude, this is going to fuck you up. It's not just the thinking. It's the arriving at the place you want to be at where it is the right thing. This is really what I want to do. And I'm absolutely not convinced at this point. It's not so much that not writing a book or a story or whatever is the thing I may or may not want to do. It's finding the voice I want to do it in. And you can say all you want, oh, well, just do it. And yeah, and every time I do it, a different voice comes up, and that's fine. I guess there's probably really no point in me continuing this conversation. It's just, thanks a lot, advice taken. Yeah, moving on. I get that we don't go looking for perfection. I'm just going to open, because there's a passage here which I thought was kind of fitting. I thought I had it here. No, God damn it. I was open to a page that sort of addressed that whole issue. And I've lost it. I'll come back to it. But I don't know what it is. I sit with Brian. And Brian and I, last night, we talk, and a different time in our lives will come up, a different era. And, you know, our stories overlap at certain points. They overlap in Nigeria. They overlap in Japan. I mean, Brian really is a big part of the reason that I have two grown boys today. Only through a series of coincidences, which I've told you before. I take Brian out drinking. His sister-in-law comes to Yokohama the next weekend. Take me to the places he took Brian. I take her to the places I took Brian. Show up at Olaf's. Olaf's, hey, Ken, you got to go to the new Olaf's opening next week. Drinks are on the house. I show up, and there's a lovely young woman sitting at the bar. And that is the woman I'm married to now. Whew. Being open to things, being flexible, moving through life. We talk about these things. Why we couldn't, why we were destined to move and change our lives. Now, Brian spent most of his life up north after he got married. Both of us marrying strong women that sort of we both recognized earlier on we needed. Am I dodging here? Am I moving around? I was at the point where I said, this, during these conversations, different eras will come up. And suddenly I'm talking about the 70s in Vancouver. And why it was, I don't know any of the television shows that Anthony Marco and Dave and Bob are talking about. Not only am I 20 years older than them, but I didn't have a television throughout the 70s. I lived in Vancouver, North Vancouver. All we did was party and get drunk and go down to the St. Alice and smoke dope, and you just barely had enough money to cover rent or whatever, and you had your record player, and you played your music, and you didn't want to watch television. So television just wasn't a part of my life throughout most of the 70s, most of which I spent out on the West Coast in Vancouver. And I start thinking about the details of that life, and holy shit, man, that is a different era. I mean, we arrived there thinking, what a backwoods hick town Vancouver is compared to Montreal. Well, Vancouver smartened up pretty damn quick. But, you know, there were pretty strange liquor laws when we arrived. The only places you get a beer were the Blue Horizon, big hotel, because it was a hotel. They had the liquor license. You needed a bar room, a tap room. And you don't dare stand up with a beer and move to another table. No, no, no. Sit down and tell the waiter you might want to move, and he might come with a tray and pick up your glasses of draft, cheap, shitty draft, and move it to the next table. But you didn't dare stand up with a beer in your hand until the NDP government bought in a pub law and opened up the Dover Arms on Denman Street, Vancouver. There's a whole rich, rich tapestry of memories, experiences, and these are the things I do want to capture somehow. What were those days? What was Vancouver like in the 70s and so on? Wow. And from your frame of mind, sort of just finished, you got your BA, you've moved out with a girlfriend, you're still kind of mixed up on what you want to do in life, but man, you're having a wild time out there. This is party central. This is holy fuck. And you've the whole Lachine gang has migrated. Your friends, a big part of you, has moved out to the West Coast and hooked up with a Vancouver gang. And we form a new gang, the West End gang. We're living in the West End of Vancouver, these crazy apartments and these fabulous views scattered all over. And bam, all you're looking for is the next big party. And they were wild and crazy parties. Those are fun, man. Now, I don't know when I'm really going to feel like sitting down and trying to capture all that. I don't know if I really want to fucking do the process of writing. Talking about what counted today, that hour and a half spent sitting in a diner, an old-fashioned diner with my son, talking about his life, his future, some of my life, my past, my future. This was quality time. This was the way I spent my time. This wasn't time for me to sit back, okay, well, now I'm going to write that story now. This was something else. And yeah, I know, no matter how I spin it, it's all just going to sound like, no, you're just making excuses. You're just, you know, finding reasons not to. Yes, that's exactly right. Because I just don't fucking want to now. Oh, loser, man. Loser. You're just giving up. You're just afraid. You're afraid of failure. Well, yeah. There's a part of that there. It isn't an end, and I guess I just resent even having to defend myself. And I know, of course, I don't. Hey, a friend's giving you helpful advice and you're bitching? What's with you, dude? Fuck you, man. No, that's not exactly. It's not exactly right. Oh. So, what is it then? Where was that quote of... No, here's a good one. Cerebration is the enemy of originality in art. Cerebration, like celebration, except it's cerebral. Cerebration is the enemy of originality in art. Yeah, don't think too much. Oh, I thought there was such a good one here. There is no must in art because art is free. That's Kandinsky. Yeah, I don't like this one. Shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, it will land amongst the stars. Fuck you. No. We cannot escape fear. We can only transform it into a companion that accompanies us on our exciting adventures. Take a risk a day. One small or bold stroke that will make you feel great once you have done it. Now, those are the kind of ones I resent because I think, fuck, man. My life has been about risk. That one-way ticket to Japan was about risk. Going off to live in a fucking bush village in Nigeria is about risk. Joining a fucking track gang in the middle of Prince George was about risk. I've done those fucking things. I've lived that life. And so, yeah. So now, isn't this the time to recount those stories in some way? I'm having trouble. Yeah. With courage, you will dare to take risks. Have the strength to be compassionate and the wisdom to be humble. Courage is the foundation of an integrity. Yeah, don't buy that. I don't have a lot of respect for talent. Talent is genetic. It's what you do with it that counts. No, don't like any of those. Trust in yourself. Your perceptions are often far more accurate than you are willing to believe. Yep. When you start a painting, it is somewhat outside you. At the conclusion, you seem to move inside the painting. Here's one by Jung. When an inner situation is not made conscious, it appears outside as fate. Now, that one I would really have to puzzle over. When an inner situation is not made conscious, it appears outside as fate. So what he's saying is, it's not fate, it's not outside. All these things come from within, and you can interpret it some other way when you just, wow, like a lightning bolt, wow. Like Brian was telling me, he's alive today because he had a pain in his leg. We talked about religion, faith, belief, God, or lack of God. What is it when your life is predestination a huge part of it? And this was a better than normal conversation, Brian. This was good, and that's no reflection on Brian. That's just a lot of times we repeat the same old shit. But this was new territory. Now Brian got a pain in his leg, and finally it was bugging him really enough that he went to the doctor. And he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "We're going to do some tests here. And by the way, you haven't done a PSA for a long time. This is for your, you know what I mean when you got this thing that two of my best friends have had? God. Anyway, Brian says, oh, yeah, all right, I'll do that. And you're prostrate. And Brian comes back to the doctor and says, whoa, these numbers are way out of whack. We got to deal with that. You need surgery here. And he had it done. And Brian said, had he not had that sore leg, he wouldn't have gone to the doctor. He would have gone straight back up north. He would not have seen a doctor for months, possibly a year, possibly longer. And this, without his knowing it, would have got a whole lot worse very quickly. And might have been, you know, with disastrous results. So we talked about that, and I said, well, I was trying to get to Brian, well, what was it that gave you the pain in the leg? Well, no, it was a natural thing. It was just, so, you know, we were talking about happenstance. Just, hey, this happened and this led to this. There's no meaning behind it. It wasn't like, I'm sort of trying to go at it from point, well, you were meant to have that leg because you were meant to live because you were, you know, hey, this all had to work out the way it did. And, of course, that was a lot of hooey. It was just good fortune. Both of us realize we are both very, very lucky, very fortunate. So, Doug, what did I do with your advice there? I took it. I think I tweeted a comment. I'm digesting it, but I need a Tums because it's just hard for me to have anybody give me any kind of advice. I don't handle it well. I strike back. I get angry. Okay, I'm just saying I get angry. My reaction is, hey, this business of it might be shit. We know, I've repeated every fucking episode that I put out this newsletter for 20 years, and with every single newsletter I put out, I always, at the time of rereading it, thought, fuck, that could have been better. But it didn't stop me. I put it out, and I put the next one out. Well, maybe the next one will be better. And over the 20-year period, probably none of them are ever, ever, ever better. Never reached a perfection, never reached high art. Was never meant to. It just served its purpose of keeping a lot of people in touch with each other, people I'm still in touch with today. There was the few who just said, hey, stop sending me this. It's not interesting. Good. All right. You've weeded yourself out. And it's exactly what I have done with this podcast over this 10-year period. 10 years this month, I made my first recording. Didn't post it until April because I didn't know how to. But I made 3 recordings, sent them off to Kat, Bob's wife. Hey, is this good enough for a podcast? What do you think? Scared the hell out of them. Who's that creep from Scarborough sending us stuff? Ooh. Is this guy dangerous? He's recording in a graveyard? What? But that's all history. And so this Dixon Janes podcast has never reached high art and never will. But I'm goddamn proud of it. I'm goddamn proud of the Dixon Janes zine 20 years. I'm goddamn proud of my 10-year record here. I've done what I've done. It isn't that I'm not creating or not doing. This is the fucking creation, goddamn it. This is my fucking creation. This is it. This is the end. Fuck. Don't tell me about a fucking book. Don't tell me I have to do something else. Says me to me, not shouting at you, Doug, not shouting at you, just raising this issue. Whatever it is I feel I have to do, I'll do in good time. You know, when it feels right. And I'll put out a general request right now because I am worked up and angry. Anybody else listen to the Dixon Janes podcast, don't fucking tell me what to do. Don't fucking tell me just do it. Don't fucking tell me to write a book. Don't give me any fucking advice. Okay? Because that's the way I feel now. I'll probably, after I've hung up on this recording, issue an apology to everybody, especially Doug, who just sort of tipped the scales. But that's where I'm at. I don't want fucking advice. I don't want anybody understanding. I don't want anybody trying to help me. Oh, yeah. So why are you going to this Gestalt thing every week? Well, that's kind of different because I chose that, right? Nobody told me to do that. I chose that. Yeah. All right. So you're dealing with a man who's childish, immature, emotional, petty. Yeah, all those things. That's me. And a man who's just insists, although maybe he's lying, that he's just trying to be honest on this podcast. Just trying to be where I'm at in this particular moment. Just trying to let it come out as it will. Okay? So, if I've done enough damage, annoyed enough people, well, you all know the answer. You just stop listening, but I have the feeling this won't stop anybody. Scarborough Dude, going to take a deep breath and read. Go back to my Buddhism book and see if I can just sort of get myself into a nice, calm, easy space. And the only thing left to do is justify releasing this as a recording. Saying, hey, man, that's what you felt then. Might not have been the most appropriate response to somebody offering you help, but that's what it was. Scarborough Dude, without apologies, not yet, hanging up.
In the southern part of Texas, in the town of San Antonio, is a fortress all in ruins that the weeds have overgrown. You may look in vain for crosses and you'll never see a one, but sometimes between the setting and the rising of the sun, you can hear a ghostly bugle as the men go marching by. You can hear them as they answer to that roll call in the sky. Colonel Travis, Davy Crockett, and 180 more, Captain Dickinson, Jim Bowie, present and accounted for. Back in 1836, Houston said to Travis, get some volunteers and go, fortify the Alamo. Well, the men came from Texas and from old Tennessee, and they joined up with Travis just to fight for the right to be free. Indian scouts with squirrel guns, men with muzzle loaders, stood together heel and toe to defend the Alamo. You may ne'er see your loved ones, Travis told them that day. Those who want to can leave now, those who fight to the death, let them stay. In the sand he drew a line with his army saber. Out of 185, not a soldier crossed the line. With his banners a-dancing in the dawn's golden light, Santa Anna came prancing on a horse that was black as the night. Sent an officer to tell Travis to surrender. Travis answered with a shell and a rousing rebel yell. Santa Anna turned scarlet, played to Guaylo, he roared, I will show them no quarter, everyone will be put to the sword. 185, holding back 5,000. 5 days, 6 days, 8 days, 10. Travis held and held again. Then he sent for replacements for his wounded and lame. But the troops that were coming never came, never came, never came. Twice he charged, then blew recall on the fatal third time. Santa Anna breached the wall and he killed them one and all. Now the bugles are silent and there's rust on each sword, and the small band of soldiers lie asleep in the arms of the Lord. In the southern part of Texas, near the town of San Antonio, like a statue on his pintle rides a cowboy all alone. And he sees the cattle grazing where a century before Santa Anna's guns were blazing and the cannons used to roar. And his eyes turn sort of misty and his heart begins to glow, and he takes his hat off slowly to the men of Alamo, to the 13 days of glory at the Siege of Alamo.
Yeah. I'm looking out at my favorite bench here in Bluffers Park, and I should be sitting on it. And I thought, oh, I got the window rolled down. The soft seat I'm sitting in my car is probably a lot more comfortable than that hard wooden bench. Cold, too. Maybe I'll just stay here. It's almost the same angle of view. I can still, with my head leaning here against the open window, I still can hear the seagulls, and I've got that sun blasting down on my face. So no, I think we'll stay put. If you're okay with that, I'm okay with that. Listen, this has already been a very long podcast. I snapped all the pieces together, like Tinker Toys, and put in a few songs, and all of which I enjoyed, and doubtful anybody else will, but that's, as we've already established, that's my prerogative, and I do it for me. There are some more things to get out of the way. I've already issued a public apology to Doug Slater, Slugor, for getting angry on this podcast. Now, I don't think I've actually got angry yet. Oh, yes, I did. No, I'm sorry. Previous clip. But I hadn't fully resolved it. and I think I wanted to explain myself. So I'm caught between just letting it go and further explaining what pushed the wrong buttons. And one of them was Doug, and I think I'll probably insert the piece right here.
If you've got time to do it, for God's sake, please do something creative. Do something.
Yeah, Doug saying do something creative. And I thought, whoa. This whole podcast that I'm doing, I feel, is creative. And I know Doug wasn't meaning that. He meant, hey, you're talking about a new project, do the new project. But I still, my reaction, my defense, you know, as I withdraw into myself and strike out at anything that's coming near me that I might perceive as criticism or missing my viewpoint. There's just that reaction, a very strong reaction. And there's another point besides that where he says, and I'll put that here too.
There's a reason why you just want to do it, because you want to just do it. So just do it.
Just do it. Now, Doug is not the first person to say, just do it. And, of course, that can be considered, there's valid advice. But the thing is, I am just doing it. You're not seeing any results. All you're hearing is me on this journey, and including when Doug passes judgment on my comic book idea. I already owned up to the fact that that was after a couple of tokes, and suddenly I go down this avenue. I'm having fun with this whole thing. It's all happening now, okay? This is what irks me. It's happening now. It's in process. I don't have a fucking blank canvas. I've got 40 years of canvases with marking all over them, some of them up to 100 pages. It's not that I'm waiting to do this thing. I am fucking doing it. But it's just going to come out in my way, in my time. So I really resent it. I don't want anybody else ever, fucking ever, telling me again, just do it. I'm fucking doing it. And part of the doing it is talking about it on this podcast. This is doing it. This isn't writing. These are words. This is me screaming now. But this is doing it. And this is what I'm enjoying. This is the journey. This is the process. This is me exploring the options. This is me trying things, experimenting with things. It is happening. It is ongoing. I know. Clever listeners out there are going to say, well, you just said you aren't going to do it anymore. You've given up. Well, that's for now. But already, there's another vision. But this time, I'm not going to share it anymore. All right? Already, there is another whole approach. And I'm letting that one digest. And I'll talk that one over. And I'll think that one over. But I'm not going to share it anymore. I just, you know, and I know this sounds terrible. This sounds like, oh, man. God damn. Take a pill, man. You're so overreacting. You're so defensive. I am, because I often do feel misunderstood. And, hey, why wouldn't I be misunderstood? Because that's just the way I present myself. So, yeah. Do something creative. I'm going to let it go there. It wasn't a very good answer. I'm not satisfied at all. But I know that I won't get it right. And anything I say, it's just going to be, you know, I'll listen to it later on and say, oh my God, dude, did you hear yourself? Did you hear how defensive you were? Did you hear how you were backtracking and trying to say this is that when it's really not even those or these, it's just some other thing, and you just keep making it up as you go along. Yeah, that's true. That's part of it. God, that wasn't fun. And yet, this is one of those clips I could say, well, I'll just won't play this one. I'll delete this clip. But that That would be even more dishonest. I think part of what I've vowed to do is let things out, even if it does make me look like a fool. But stay tuned. Don't give up on me if you're a fan. It ain't over yet. And Doug, absolutely no hard feelings. Let's have a beer together as soon as possible. And I'll punch you right in the fucking nose. Oh, gee, did I say that? Trouble is, your reflexes are so good. You saw it coming. I could see it. Your hand went up, and I just hit my other hand. Speaking of which, my wrist, I had to go and buy a wrist guard today. Second set of x-rays came back. And I was told that there is no sign of a real fracture. They could do MRI if it was really, really bothering me and still swollen, but the swelling's down. It's just that when I sleep at night, I get into awkward positions. I'm a thrasher. I toss and turn, and I think I end up in really nasty positions with this wrist. And so I get up in the morning, and the fucking thing really hurts. So it's still, these things, you know, like anybody who's had a sprained ankle knows, these things last forever. So spent $30 and bought a stupid wrist thing. And hopefully that will help at least at sleeping time. So I guess I've gone on long enough. I mean, far too long on this particular podcast. And it's unfinished. There's more to be done. I'll probably talk some of this out with my Gestalt counselor tomorrow. Gestalt. And let's see where that gets us. I'll go back to my morning pages and write it out as well. Bottom line, end of story. I am doing what I can do. I am not, and I just don't want to be accused of not doing anything creative. There's already been two other podcasts recorded I haven't released yet, right? Not entirely happy about them, but they're still out there and done on this other new project to take over when Dixon James finishes. So, you know, there's this stuff happening, all right? And stuff happening in a way that is meaningful to me, even though I highly suspect it's not meaningful to anybody else. And that's the frustration. God, I'm starting to sound like MMD. I hope he takes that as a compliment. Scarborough Dude, still the one and only, signing off.
Inarticulate speech, inarticulate speech of the heart. Inarticulate speech, inarticulate speech of the heart. Inarticulate speech, inarticulate speech of the heart. Inarticulate speech, inarticulate.
A soul in wonder, our soul in wonder.